In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, the scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What you can put your hands on, the substance. It's got mass. It's matter. You can grab a hold of it. The substance. That's what I when I think of that word substance. It's stuff. Okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is evidence. You have faith, it's evidence of something. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. And all these elders were saved. They were convicted by the Lord that the Lord is real and He's the only way of salvation. And then from that, they operated going forward on that faith, didn't they? The Scripture bears out to us that faith is a gift of the Lord. And once it's given, it is then possessed by men. Well, we have it. And then the apostle, he says here, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I wasn't there, but I know it did happen. You do too. Amen? The Word of God tells us. And that, there's a key too about the Word of God. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. By the Word we know these things, and that He framed them by His Word, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He made it all out of nothing. By His Word. It was only mankind that He formed. I find that an interesting consideration. He spoke all things into existence, but when it came to mankind, He formed mankind of the dust of the earth. That's what it says. And so the things which are made, which are seen, were not made of things which do appear. Talks about Abel, talks about Enoch. And then in verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, that is God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He's there, that He's for real, that He's given His Word that tells about Him and us and this whole thing of life that we have, this existence that we have here. Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder, a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith. Faith. And considering about the message and reading and listening to the Scriptures this week and just seeking the Lord's face about what to bring, you pray for me as I do so. I want to bring you good food out of the Word of God. I want to review things that maybe we already know, but there might be some amongst us that hasn't learned. Yeah, things of the Word of God, they click, don't they? Yeah. We hear a thing, study a thing, and then they click for us. Does that work with you? That's the way the Lord works with me. I hear about a thing, and then the Lord, I've learned some things, and then He adds more to it. Or sometimes I forget things. As I prepare the messages and seek the Lord's face about what to bring, I want to bring things to you that maybe you've never seen out of the Word of God, although that isn't my goal, but if you haven't seen it, I want you to see it, and it might click with you. Or things that have been forgotten, that they might be renewed. Or things that might be built upon. And so you pray for me about that. And these passages here came about this week in my study and consideration of the Scripture this week. And a phrase that's here, Numbers chapter 20. I want us to turn over here, and we'll continue from here with the message. Faith. Another way that the word faith is rendered in the Scriptures is believe, different forms of the word believe. And in Numbers chapter 20, listen to what the Scripture says here, and this is at the time when the children of Israel are getting, it's close to the end of their 40-year wanderings, and there was a time that Moses was told to hit the rock with the staff. And the Lord tells him this time to take the rod with him, but speak to the rock instead. Christ only needed to be sacrificed, crucified once. I think that's the type that's there. And Moses is so frustrated, he allows himself to become so frustrated with the children of Israel that instead he strikes the rock. I trust you know about that account. And he says here in verse 10, "Hear ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" He had a moment there. He lost his meekness and humility, didn't he? Frustration took over. And so he hit the rock and had ended up hitting it twice, and the Lord went ahead and blessed with water. Verse number 12, listen to this. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not." That's what we want to consider this morning. Believe me not. You know, the Bible's got a bunch to say about not believing what the Lord says. Not having faith in what He's given and directed. "Because ye believed me not to sanctify me," or set me apart in the eyes of the children of Israel, "to obey the Lord, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Don't you know Moses looked very much forward himself? Aaron looked very much forward to the time that they could cross over Jordan and go into the promised land? I mean, they looked for it, and they looked for it, and they bore with the children of Israel for 40 years in their wanderings, and that was a hope that they had of entering into the promised land. But Moses decided to hit the rock. And what's the scripture say? The Lord says, "Because ye believed me not." Believe what? What did they believe? The Lord said, "Speak to the rock." It's simple. You know, it's usually really simple what the Lord gives us to believe and to hear and to receive and accept from Him. It's all simple. Really, it very much is simple what the Lord... But if I don't believe Him, there's consequences. So faithful. The Lord said of Moses that he was, when he was challenged by those there in the nation and even of his own tribe about being the leader called of God to be over the children of Israel, to lead them, and the Lord would use him and work through him. He said, "Moses has been faithful in all my house, in all his house. He's been faithful. There's none like him." He was a faithful man. He at times interceded on behalf of the children of Israel, didn't he? He stepped in and interceded for them before God. And the Lord honored his intercession. But he didn't believe the Lord in this. And pride rose up in him, and we don't need to be down on him. We need to learn. His meekness went aside for a moment. His humility went away, and he hit the rock. Because you believe me, he was not going to enter into the promised land. I find it very interesting with Moses. You know, from then on, he didn't, after the Lord told him that, he didn't give up. He still was diligent about what the Lord had called him to do. You know, he could have got full of the molly grubs, couldn't he? But he didn't. And can you imagine, as Aaron, as it was with Moses, there with Aaron, was taken up on the mount at the place where the Lord said that this the Aaron's life was done, and his sons and Moses went up with Aaron to the mount, that particular mount that it was time for Aaron to pass on, and they went up there, and the garments were taken off of Aaron and put on his son, and Aaron died right there in front of him. Aaron wasn't carried up the mountain. He walked up the mountain himself. You know, we're in the hands of God, aren't we? And then it came time for Moses. And it wasn't so... I can't recall. I don't think it was that way with Moses in that anyone went with him. But he went to the place that he died. It wasn't a long illness. It wasn't a weakness of the flesh. It was the calling of the Lord. And from the human standpoint, as we look on at the Scriptures, it happened because they believed not the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, let's take a look over here at couple passages. Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses is preaching to the children of Israel, and he's reminding them of things and that. And these are part of the words of consideration here this morning in the message, too. They were 12 spies were chosen, one of each tribe. They were sent into the spy out the land. This is after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. These are the children. Except for Caleb and Joshua, these are the children of those that rebelled and wouldn't go in the first time. And I'm sorry, I've got that mixed up. This is the beginning. I'm sorry, forgive me. And these are the after Sinai and the law given, and they built the tabernacle and all that. And they came there and they whined and whimpered about the inhabitants of the land. 10 spies stood against 2 of the spies. 2 of the spies says, "They're meat in our hand. It's easy. God's with us. No problem. God's promised it." They believed the Lord, but the 10 spies stood against them, and the whole nation gave in to popular opinion and no faith. And what's the testimony here of Moses as he recounts this to him? In verse number 31 of Deuteronomy chapter 1, "And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that ye went until ye came to this place, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God." And it cost them their lives because they didn't believe the Lord. It cost them their lives. If they were 20, they died by the time they were 60. They died even yet being in full strength, but they didn't believe the Lord. And it cost them. In chapter 9 of the same book, in Deuteronomy chapter 9, the scripture says here in this chapter about speaking about Israel and Moses preaching to them yet, and how he came down from the mount with the law and the 2 tables of stone and had found that Aaron had made a molten calf and they were worshiping the calf and they were just being wicked before the Lord. And he says here in verse 23, "Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, 'Go up and possess the land which I have given you,' then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice." They did not believe what God had said. They'd seen all the plagues. They'd seen the deliverance of the Lord. They saw how the Lord shielded them from the Egyptians. They saw the pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they would not believe the Lord. When I took a look at this, I'll tell you, this is a big old message. Okay. There's a lot of points to this. I'll mention them to you, but we'll not look at them all. But we want to consider this morning the phrase, "Believe not the Lord." Believe not the Lord, and what will that yield? Well, we saw here with these, with the nation and with Moses and Aaron, believe not the Lord, and one will miss out on a blessing and privilege. Hear that? Believe not the Lord, and we will miss out on blessing and privilege. It will be. You know, so much it is in the child of God's life that the Lord, there's a trial that's laid before us. There's a thing that's laid before us, a decision that we need to make. And you know what? There's a blessing just over the hill that we can't see. And we won't be able to see, and we won't be able to possess until we're obedient in this. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in other people's lives. There's a thing, there's a decision, there's a thing at hand where we're either being tempted by Satan or we're being tried as the children of God by the Lord, and it's right there. And we say, "This is impossible. I've got to go the way that the Lord doesn't like, because there's no other answer." We don't believe the Lord in what He says. And you know what? The blessing that lies over the hill for the obedience of the Lord's children will never even know it was there, because in this we did not believe the Lord. The Lord gives a little, and we need to be faithful in that, because there won't be more coming unless we're faithful in what He gives at the front end. And you can take that and you can apply that to many things in life. In Psalms chapter 78, this speaks here of this, this about provision. In Psalm 78, the psalmist, let me get caught up with you, in Psalms 78, the scripture reviews about the children of Israel and their disobedience. And in Psalm chapter 78, speaking here about how the Lord provided for the children of Israel, verse 20, where Moses was told to smite the rock and waters overflowed and that. And the Lord gave manna and He gave the quail and all that, those things, right? And it says here in verse number 78, this is talking about His provision for them, as some of the things that I've reviewed already. And in verse number 22, verse 21, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. Believe not the Lord, and we will doubt, one will doubt the Lord's provision. If we don't believe what the Lord says, what He's given to us in His Word, if we don't believe that, we will doubt His providing. Did He provide for Israel? He did so continually, didn't He? Yet they doubted. And naturally, doubt is part of us. But being saved, we don't need to doubt the Lord. In verse number 32, the scripture says here, for all this they sin still and believe not for His wondrous works. Can you go back and count how the Lord has worked in your life? Can you go back and look and see how He's blessed, how He's helped, how He's delivered? We need to remember that. We can't trade on that from the standpoint of taking, you've heard me say it, taking faithfulness of the past and bring it up here to today for our failure. But the Lord being gracious and merciful and helpful to us, we need to remember that so that we might know going forward, He will provide. We're putting it straight. We're putting it in trial, we think, and we got to make a decision that's contrary to what the Word of God says. Because we think that the Lord can't provide, we've got to provide for ourselves. It's the Lord that provides. But you know what? If we believe not the Lord, one will doubt about the Lord's provision. In Psalm 106, we're here in the book, and let's take a look over here. This talks about the wickedness of Israel. And they saw what the Lord did in Egypt, verse number 21 of Psalm 106. The wondrous works in the land of Ham, terrible things by the Red Sea. The Lord said He wouldn't destroy. Had not Moses, verse number 23, His chosen, stood before Him in the breach to turn away His wrath, lest He should destroy them because of their rebellion. Yea, they despised, verse 24, the pleasant land. They believed not His word. See, Israel, they murmured in their tents and hearkened not to their voice of the Lord. What is it that they said? They said, oh, Egypt was so pleasant. They forgot their labor. The melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, it was all so good. They didn't believe what the Lord said about the promised land. They forgot it. And if one believes not the Lord, what did they do? They didn't want to be separate from the world like the Lord has commanded, and the Lord brought them out of Egypt. See that bringing out of Egypt? He brought them from the influence of all that wickedness and that sin and that paganism, and He gave them His true religion, His oracle, His word. And He set them up in a way that they would be hedged in and about. But what did they want? They wanted to go back. If one believes not the, if we believe not the Lord, one will not be separate from the world. We got to believe what the Lord says. There's a king of Israel, Hoshea, that is told about in 2 Kings chapter 17. And rather than seeking to the Lord, he sought to get help from different nations around him. Rather than trusting in the Lord and following Him, you know, if we believe not the Lord, one will not worship Him. If we believe not the Lord, one will not worship Him. Ahaz, the king of Judah, was being threatened in the same way, and he sought to get confederacy of other nations round about him. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 9, the Lord said this, the Scripture says this, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. If we believe not the Lord, we will not be established. There won't be continuance if we don't believe what the Lord says. In John chapter 6, you know about this, the multitude that's going around with the Lord, they're following the Lord and putting a lot of effort forth to get the free lunch, right? And the Lord deals with them. He tells them about the real food that they need, that is Christ. And in John chapter 6, verse number 64, the Lord says here, "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him." Verse 66, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." You know, if we believe not the Lord, one will not stay with Jesus. You want to stay with the Lord? To whom shall we go? Amen? Right? You see what I'm saying? But we know of those. We maybe have even had temptation or trial in our own time, and we say, I quit. If we don't believe the Lord and what He says, we won't stay with Him. In John chapter 4, the Lord here dealing with these folks, and the woman at the well at Sychar, she's been saved. He goes into Galilee, it says in verse number 43, and there's this one that comes for the healing of his son. He's at the point of death, verse 47. Then said Jesus unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." You know, if we believe not the Lord, we will be prone to signs and wonders. That's what we'll need. You know, how is it that the Lord's given us to operate in this New Testament age? Are we to put out fleeces? We're to seek the face of the Lord, aren't we? We're to serve the Lord by faith. We're to look into His Word. We're to bring to Him our difficulty, our petition, our confusion, our lack of understanding, our desire to know what to do. We're to bring that before the Lord. And we've been promised, especially in the church, the leadership of the Comforter. Amen? We've got the Word of God. We don't need to be throwing fleeces, do we? We've got what God says. And a promise from the Lord. But you know what? If we believe not the Lord, we will be prone to the necessity of signs and wonders. In John chapter 3, you know about it. Nicodemus is there, and the Lord tells him, "You must be born again." Nicodemus says, how can these things be? In verse number 12 of John 3, the Lord says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You know, if we believe not the Lord in the basics, one will never understand the heavenly. Hear that? This is very simple, but it is very profound, too. And if it's just like I said about the child of God that's faced with a thing that's there, a trial or a temptation that's laid before him, and we choose to go the disobedient way because we think there's no other hope in the righteous way, we never see what the Lord would have done. Didn't it look pretty bad getting backed up to the Red Sea for the children of Israel? It made no strategic sense to go into that hole that they went into. They're being boarded up on two sides and backed up against the Red Sea. It made no strategic sense. But it's where God said to go. Because He said to. See, believe not the Lord. Oh, it's terrible what it will do to us. In John chapter 5, maybe you're close if you turn to John 3. In John chapter 5, verse number 38. And the Lord dealing with these folks, He says, and ye have not His word abiding in you, for whom He hath sent, him ye believe not. If we believe not the Lord, believe not the Lord, one shows that they do not have the word of the Lord within. Hear that? Believe not the Lord, and it's evidence that the word of God is not within. If the word of God's not in us, how can we be convicted by it? The brother said here not too long ago, we don't get it by osmosis. We don't get it because somebody in our family knows it. We don't get it because of some other way. But we get it by feeding on it and having it within us. But when you and I show and manifest that we don't believe the Lord, that very thing is, shows that we don't have His Word within us. And we need His Word within us. And not only that, we need to believe Him in it. In John chapter 5, also there in verse number 47, listen to this. Talking about Moses' writings, the Word of God given by the Lord to him. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Believe not the Lord. Believe not the Lord in His Scripture. And one will never believe Jesus. Believe not the Lord in His Scripture, and one will never believe Jesus. There are a lot of people try to disassociate all that, don't they? They try to disassociate Jesus from His Word. Jesus will never be disassociated from His Word. He is the Word, and what He has spoken is Him and from Him. And He is the fulfillment of everything that He's ever said and given unto us in this book. In chapter 12 of this same book, in John chapter 12, verse number 47, the Lord says, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's the reason He came the first time. Believe not the Lord, and one will reject Christ's word. Believe not the Lord, and one will reject Christ's word. If any man hear my words and believe not, he is self-condemned, and he will stand in judgment before the Lord. In John chapter 6, verse number 36, we were very close. Look over here. Believe not the Lord. In John 6, 36, he says here, I'm the bread of life, verse number 35. Come to him, you'll never hunger. Believe on me, he says, that for himself shall never thirst. Verse 36 of John 6, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Believe not the Lord. Believe not the Lord, and one will never see Christ, never see Jesus as Savior. Believe him not, you'll never see him as Savior. In John 8, it says there in verse number 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Believe not the Lord. Believe not the Lord, and you will never believe the truth. Hear that? The Lord is truth. But if you don't believe the Lord, you're never going to believe the truth. I tell you the truth, you believe me not. In chapter 10 of the book of John, verse number 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Believe not the Lord, and you will not believe that Jesus is the Christ or the Savior. Don't believe his word. Don't believe him, what he says. You'll never see Jesus as a Savior. In John chapter 12, verse number 37, John writes, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Believe not the Lord in his miracles and their purpose, and one will not believe in him. Why did he do the miracles? He makes it very clear when he healed the man that was born of four and let down through the roof. He did the miracle so it might be known that he can forgive sins, that he's the Savior. But if you don't believe him, you don't believe the Lord and his miracles and their purpose, you will not believe in him. If you don't believe the Lord, in John 12, it deals with this also, one will not believe that the Father sent the Son. Jesus was sent. A lot of people are confused about that. They believe that Jesus was just another man. And so if he's just another man, he wasn't sent, was he? They don't understand about why Jesus had to be sent. Because man could conjure up no Savior on his own. Why was Jesus sent? Because the Scripture says that he loved his creation. Sin had spoiled his creation, but yet the Lord is going to rescue some of it. And what the Lord had always, what the Lord had said about creation and his creation, everything that he said that he would do will stand. You know, this whole earth has been corrupted by sin, but there will be an earth that will be forever. Right? The Lord creates, he never backs up. The Lord does, he never changes his way. And even though sin has corrupted this whole earth, there will be an earth that will last forever. In John 14, verse 10, the Lord deals here. He says, and to paraphrase, believe not the Lord, and one will not believe in the unity of the Son and Father. There was a time that there were the Jesus-only crowd. Jesus says, I sent to the Father. I and my Father are one. You know what? In John chapter, or Matthew chapter 21, take a look over here. This is something that folks stumble over too. In Matthew chapter 21, and I know I'm giving you a bunch of these points, but and they're simple, but they're so true. See, if we believe the Lord and that what he says is true, we'll believe these things. But if we deny the Lord and what he says is impossible or can't be, or this book is a fairy tale or a fable, then many, many things will be missed. Believe not the Lord. In John chapter, or Matthew, I'm sorry, Matthew 21, the Lord here in dealing with these, in verse number 25, he asked, the baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? Oh, they're politically caught, aren't they? They reason within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? If we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. They said, we can't tell. Believe not the Lord, and one will not understand about the gospel and baptism. We see that prevalent in our day, don't we? Want to make things that are not the gospel, the gospel. Want to make baptism something that it's not. Get tangled up about who John the Baptist really is and what his purpose was. The Protestants, they don't understand about John. In Matthew chapter 21, here in this same chapter, verse number 32, look down here. The Lord tells about John. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. What John came preaching about the one that was going to baptize with the Spirit and with fire, about the one that John was baptizing unto. John's baptism spoke about what Christ would do. John was sent to baptize. It wasn't some brainstorm that he had over there in the hill country of Judea, was it? But he was sent by God to baptize. He said, you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Believe not the Lord, and one will not understand about the gospel and baptism. In Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. This is the Lord's disciples. And of course, the Lord cleared it up for them, and he clears it up for us in his scripture. But in Mark chapter 16, verse number 11, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Hadn't the Lord told them he's going to raise from the dead? Believe not the Lord, and one will not believe his resurrection. Sinner without Christ, you need to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Otherwise, there's no salvation in him. He's a dead Savior. But he's not dead, is he? He rose from the dead. But believe not the Lord, and you'll not believe in his resurrection. This is speaking about doubt, isn't it? In Luke chapter 24, they hear the disciples, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, the words of the women, and they believed them not. In Mark 16, and afterward he appeared in the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Believe not the Lord, and one will not believe his resurrection. Here in Mark chapter 16, in verse number 16, the scripture says here, in a commission given by the Lord to his church, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we understand in the context all the rest of the scriptures that deal with that. Baptism is because of salvation, not unto salvation. We know that. Baptism doesn't wash away sins. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that does so, but it's baptism that shows that one has been saved, one has had their sins washed away by the Lord. But listen to this, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Believe not the Lord, and you will be damned. You don't hear much preaching like that these days, but it's the truth. Believe not the Lord, and you will be damned, sinner. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 46, the scripture says here, Luke 12:46, the scripture says here, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Believe not the Lord, and you will be damned with other unbelievers. Because the Lord's going to take all that lot and put them in one place. In the book of the Revelation, what is it, chapter 21, whoremongers, adulterers, effeminate, all those things, all that wickedness that we naturally do, that we, the children of God, have been saved from. What's the top of that list? Fearful and unbelieving. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 12, the Scripture says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, this is grievous to the soul. As the brother taught in Sunday school class, not a child of God should ever glory in the destruction and damnation of sinners. It's a grief. Oh, that they would flee the wrath to come. Oh, that they would deliver themselves from this untoward generation, this crooked and twisted, perverse generation, humanity and the depravity and wickedness. God's given time, but that time's going to come to an end. And sinner, believe not the Lord and you will be damned. In John 3, as the Lord's there dealing with Nicodemus in verse 18, you know it, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Believe not the Lord, and you are condemned now. You don't have to wait. Believe not the Lord. As it says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Believe not the Lord, and you will not see life. Compared to eternity, this life will be just a drop. A drop. It is so for the child of God that's saved, this life will just be but a wisp of a memory. But for the sinner in hell, in the lake of fire for eternity, they'll remember life, and they'll remember what's brought them to that place, unbelief in the Lord. The Lord has sent His Word, and He sent it expecting it to be believed. The Lord tells here about the church and the work of the Comforter in the church in John 16, 9, verse number 9. He says that the Spirit, the Comforter, will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. Believe not the Lord, and one believes there is no sin. See, Jesus coming is the hallmark manifestation, is that there's sin that needs to be dealt with. But one that believes not the Lord believes there's really no sin that needs to be dealt with. In John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Believe not the Lord, and you will die in your sins. You will. You will indeed. In Acts chapter 17, verse number 5, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy, jealousy with action, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Believe not the Lord, and one will become jealous against the way of the Lord. Sad to say, we may see this in our day. As the one world government and this handful of articles in the news just this past week about how the world is just accepting a perverse living and sodomy and lesbianism and all that, the tearing down of the home and marriage and the family and all that, and elevating that to be the norm. When the pressure comes on, will there be any of us that will forsake our brethren? I pray not. In Acts chapter 19, But when divers were hardened at the preaching of the word and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Believe not the Lord, and one will speak evil of the way of the Lord. In Acts 28:24, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And that's the way it is. Believe not the Lord, and one will not believe the preaching of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 4. Let's back up to verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Believe not the Lord. You're blinded by Satan. You're blinded by self, and you're blinded by Satan. In Hebrews chapter 3, the passage there talks, and the scripture talks there about rest. And the Lord says, the scripture says in Hebrews 3, verse number 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, speaking about Israel and their wanderings and being taken to the promised land. Who didn't enter in? But them that believed not. Believe not the Lord, and you will not have rest. Because in Him's the only one that there is rest. In that same book, in Hebrews 11, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Believe not the Lord, and you will perish. Those that believe not perish then, and those that believe not will perish in the future. In 1 John chapter 5, I found this very interesting. I'd never seen this. I know this passage was here, but I just hadn't seen it in this way. In 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Amen. Believe not the Lord. Believe not the Lord, and you have accused God of being a liar. That's serious, isn't it? I mean, that is heavy. Because see, God has given his word. He sent the prophets. He has inspired the brethren to write down the good word of this good book. And it has been distributed the world over for centuries. And the Lord expects his word to be believed. Some would say, I'm waiting for God to do something. He has done it in this book. He's given his word. And he doesn't do it yelling and screaming and waving his hands and all that, but he gives his word steady and true and preserved and heralded out by his people and heralded out by his churches and expects it to be believed. Believe not the Lord. And Jude, Brother Jude, I tell you something about what he tells about here. Look in verse number 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this. Maybe they kind of forgot. We can forget stuff, can't we? I hate myself in that. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, there it is again, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Believe not the Lord. Believe not the Lord, and you will be destroyed. You will be destroyed. Believe not the Lord. Well, consider these passages about they that do believe. In Mark 11:23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." That's the children of God. Now, that's not talking about health and prosperity gospel. That's talking about believing the Lord, being in tune with him and the leadership of the Spirit, desiring the work and the way of the Lord in our life and being a witness unto others, seeing what's really important in this entire existence, not the things of this world, but the souls and what's done for the Lord and what's going to be sent on to eternity. Hear that? And the Lord will work. Has he not? And will he do so? He will. But the Lord says, believe. Believe. In Mark chapter 5, verse 36, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue that wanted his child healed, Be not afraid, only believe." My fear gets in the way of me believing, doesn't it? The Lord says, "Peace, be still." The Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Amen? Believe in him. You know, we have a crisis, we have an issue, we have a thing at hand. We need to ask the Lord for what we desire, yet yield it to his will and way that he knows best, and trust in him that he will do all things well. There's peace there, isn't there? There's peace there. There is. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus saith unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Not just trying to grunt something through of our own will or our own force and power. We have none. But by the Lord. Let's say in Philippians, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Amen? Who can save? Man can't save. It's the Lord that saves. See, sinner, how bad you need the Lord? You need to be going to him with your trouble. In Romans chapter 10, verse 11, "For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And that's a quote of Isaiah 28, verse 16. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone." He's not going to crush, is he? That tried stone is not going to spall, is he? He's not going to crack. He's not going to break. He's tried. And not only that, he is precious. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. Listen. "And he that believeth shall not make haste." Amen. Won't be confused. Won't be stumped. Won't be troubled resting in that stone, resting in the Lord. But believing in him. Believe not the Lord. Tell you what, it's a dead-end street. Believe not the Lord is a dead-end road. Believe not the Lord leads to nothing but death and destruction. May the Lord help and bless his word.